Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. This week's program is about the recent $1.9 trillion economic stimulus package called the American Rescue Plan, which among many other handouts gives each American $1,400. I want to cover the story like I've covered other stories recently. It's just another example of the proliferation of evil in the last days. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. But realize this, in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of the good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. It comes as a package. And a people who abandon God will also roll the money presses and throw to the wind all economic laws of justice. They will cheat the system by deficit spending and inflation, thinking that nothing bad will happen to them. You can sow and you don't need to reap. Just like they believe they can break God's sexual moral laws and all will be well. The same lawlessness we find in this generation's social behavior, transgenderism, LGBTQ, abortion, is now showing up also in economic behavior. It's not as if you can be lawless in social morals and those same people will follow God's morals in economics. No, cheating and fantasy in one area of life will transfer over into one's economic area of life. Immoral people will bankrupt the nation morally and economically because they have the same spirit of greed and covetousness and lawlessness and rebellion. They're deceived and deluded morally and economically. Now, sound business leaders are trying to not let it transfer. They want America to be economically conservative, but socially liberal, because they know what happens when economic laws are broken. But even though conservative economists are writing in the Wall Street Journal and The Economist against the bad economic policy in our day, the public and the politicians will not listen. The nation has abandoned God, and in our greed, and in our worship of money, we will drive the economy off the cliff. We will destroy the country. If you break God's moral law for marriage, for gender, for the life of a child, you will also violate God's economic laws. You will believe that money grows on trees. If they believe it's okay to kill a baby in the womb, they will believe and do anything. Or we could say it this way, the same people that deny and overturn Genesis 1:27, he made them male and female, will deny and try to overturn Genesis chapter 3, verse 19. By the sweat of your brow, you shall eat bread. And God has built this connection into the system to punish the ungodly. You know, the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, who partied with prostitutes, also fortunately squandered his wealth. You wouldn't want it any other way. You wouldn't want Sodom and Gomorrah to be financially successful. You would want it to go bankrupt. At the Grammys, Cardi B performed a music video that was satanic, pagan, primitive, where the dancers behaved like animals. Yet this is what Americans today call art and what they applaud. Can you imagine what the pilgrims would think if they were shown what America has become? Or even just people 75 years ago, if they were shown what the 2021 Grammys would look like. We've become Sodom. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 10. Hear the words of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the instruction of our God, you people of Gomorrah. You know, why even bring up the story about the Grammys? I mean, this program today is about the $1.9 trillion economic stimulus plan. Well, because lawlessness is behind both social and economic corruption in our society today. Don't be surprised if these people bankrupt themselves and turn the well-watered land into a desert. It couldn't happen to more deserving people. So let's begin by looking back at how the COVID crisis was turned into an opportunity or an excuse to pacify the public with bread and circuses. In February of 2020, the Wuhan flu appeared on the scene, and President Trump requested $2.5 billion to address the problem. Now, $2.5 billion does not sound like a lot of money compared to what's being spent today. But $2.5 billion is $2,500 million bills. You can fund all the research and all the medical needs to deal with the Wuhan flu with that amount of money. But the Democrats said this wasn't enough, so they increased it to $8.3 billion and added all sorts of pork. Then in May of 2020, the federal government passed the $2.2 trillion CARE Act, Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act, and everyone received $1,200. Then in December of 2020, the feds passed the Consolidated Appropriations Act, which gave everyone $600. And that cost $2.3 trillion, $900 billion of which was for those checks to be sent to the American people, and the rest was borrowed money to continue operating the government. And now in March, they have passed the $1.9 trillion American Rescue Plan, giving everyone $1,400. Think about what $1 trillion is. It is 1,000 billion or 1,000,000,000. So we have the government giving out $2.2 trillion, then $1 trillion, now $1.9 trillion, along with running a budget deficit every year of $1 trillion. So our national debt is somewhere between $28 and $30 trillion. The government is spending and handing out much more money than it takes in tax revenue. You know, how can they do this? Well, they just run the presses to print more dollars. But it's not even that. It's just adding numbers to a ledger. And we'll discuss that all in a moment. But first, let me ask you this question. What do you think about getting that $1,400 check in the mail? Is that a good thing? Most Americans would say yes, it's a good thing because I can buy that new refrigerator or a new couch. I can get caught up with my bills. And we're hearing all these human interest stories about how this money is helping families. The trouble here is that too many people judge what is right or wrong based on what benefits them. How can it be wrong if I'm getting $1,400? Don't I deserve it? Haven't I paid taxes? Why should the rich get all the money? That's the attitude most people have. And right now, there is not a vast movement in America for people to refuse or to return these $1,400 checks to the government. If anything, people were protesting the Biden administration saying, where is the $2,000 that you promised me? It's this mindset of a welfare state, a mindset of a victim culture. But is this the way we are to judge the morality of any policy? By how it benefits me? Or do we have the character to say something is wrong, even if it benefits me? Like Abraham when he refused to take money from the city of Sodom, or Moses when he refused to accept the treasures of Egypt, or Elisha when he refused to accept money from Naaman the Syrian, or Psalm 15:4, the righteous man who will keep a promise even if it hurts him. We're to never judge right or wrong on the basis of how something helps us. We're to judge it based on the moral law of God. And in most cases, doing what is right will always result in some short-term loss. All sin and compromise will benefit you in some way. That's just the nature of temptation. And overcoming temptation is the ability to put the moral law of God above yourself, above personal benefit. If you won the lottery, does that make the lottery right? Or should you refuse to cheat other people out of their money by a game of chance? If you were given a six-figure salary job with the state and it's a no-show job, or the job wasn't really of any value or really didn't deserve a six-figure salary, and the only reason you're being paid is because the government has the power to tax people, would you take that job? Thou shall not steal applies to a whole lot more than just holding up the corner 7-Eleven. You know, we need to hold ourselves accountable to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. If anyone is not willing to work, neither should he eat. And 2 Thessalonians 3:8, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it, but with labor and hardship, we kept working night and day. So be a giver, not a taker. Don't take something for nothing if instead you can work for it. A nation that is filled with Christian people who operate on God's higher ethics will prosper economically. But a nation that's filled with greedy people who just want to take and take and take without the least guilt over enriching themselves at the expense of others will eventually collapse their economy. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't take your $1,400 check. You still might have to take this check even though you know it's bad policy. A policy that you wouldn't vote for, a policy that no legislator should vote for. The reason you may have to take the check is because the government, by increasing the money supply and handing everyone a check for $1,400, has just increased the price of goods you're going to be purchasing in 2021 by $1,400. And the government has devalued your savings. The government is not making you wealthier. The government is taking money from one of your pockets and putting it in another pocket. It may seem like you're getting $1,400, but by the end of this year, I guarantee you that your other cost of living will go up by $1,400. You're going to pay more for gas, for food, for those appliances, for cars, for car repairs, so that by the end of this year, you're not going to be ahead $1,400. You're going to be behind $1,400, if not more. Economic law is immutable. An increase in the money supply does not produce wealth. It only changes prices. It only changes the number value that we give to things. The mistake most people make is assuming that money is wealth. But money is not wealth. It's only the medium of exchange for wealth. If you were to take a small country like Kazakhstan and gave everyone in that country 1 million tenge, which is their dollar, no wealth would be created. There would still be in that country the same number of cars, the same number of cattle, the same number of sheep, the same number of factories, the same number of skilled workers. The only difference is that the medium of exchange, the money, has decreased in numerical value. So, if our federal government were to give every American citizen $1 million, nobody in America would be one penny wealthier because the price of every commodity would go up accordingly. A new car would cost now $1 million. A new house would cost $2 million. And people would actually be poorer because the cash they've already saved would be devaluated. So we see this very clearly if you were to hand out to everyone $1 million. But the same is true in giving everybody $1,400. People are not wealthier. It's an illusion that fools the masses. If giving everyone money would actually create wealth, then the federal government should give everybody $1,400 every week. Then we'd all be rich. But no, we'd actually all be poor. But this is what socialist countries like Venezuela did. In their socialistic fantasy, they printed dollars to pay for the price of socialism. Remember that famous quote from Margaret Thatcher? The problem with socialism is eventually you run out of other people's money. You can't bring in enough tax revenues to cover all of the dreams of the socialists. But these socialist politicians in their fantasy world say it doesn't matter. We can print money and it's all going to work out. The inflation rate in Venezuela is 438%. That means that a car that costs you this year $30,000 will cost you $130,000 the next year and $565,000 the year after that and $2.4 million the year after that. The entire country is in poverty because the government cheated in its monetary policy. They didn't balance expenditures with tax receipts. They printed dollars. They inflated the currency to live large. And if you think I'm joking, in 2018, Venezuela knocked five zeros off of its currency because it was ridiculous to have to pay $100,000 in Venezuela dollars for a loaf of bread. You say, well, you know, what harm is it? All you're doing is adding some poker chips to the game and reducing the value of each chip. Well, the sin is what the Bible calls unjust weights and measures. Cheating people out of their money by changing the rules of the monetary game. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 35, you shall do no wrong in judgment, in measurement of weight or capacity. You shall have just balances, just weights, a just ephah, and just hin. I am the Lord your God who brought you out from the land of Egypt. So the sin is not in giving out aid or charity. The sin is in printing money to give the illusion of wealth and to cheat people out of their savings. Now, I realize that this whole thing is much more complicated than I just described. The effects of inflation are not evenly distributed. There is a transfer of wealth going on when money is inflated. That's why it appears as if some people are getting ahead, but they're getting ahead at the expense of somebody else. There's no free lunch. Someone is having to do extra work to build you that new refrigerator that you're going to buy with your $1,400. In the words of economist Walter Williams, the government cannot create a special privilege for one American without taking away the rights of another American. Or in the words of the former Fed chairman Alan Greenspan, deficit spending is simply a scheme to confiscate wealth. You know, I'd love to get into all of the details of this because I have a somewhat of a background in economics, but there's just so much to explain about how inflation is a hidden tax, how it's justified by economists by saying that it greases the economy, how it fools people into thinking that they're getting so much more for their house when they sell it 20 years later, you know, how it fools people in thinking that their salary is going up, but it's actually an inflation thing. This all can get very complicated and boring, but just keep in mind Leviticus chapter 19, verse 35. That's just about everything you need to know about the error of deficit spending and money printing. It's a sin. But after the Biden administration passed this American Rescue Plan, notice how it was described by the uninformed and morally bankrupt media. The New York Times headlines, with relief plan, Biden takes on a new role, crusader for the poor. Washington Post, Biden stimulus showers money on Americans, sharply cutting poverty and favoring individuals over businesses. Is that true? Will this economic plan lift people out of poverty? No, it's an illusion. It's a lie. Now, in thinking about this, I am sure there are many naive people, even religious people, who would assume that this is an act of charity. Finally, the rich people are sharing their wealth. And there are many verses that could be misused to support such a claim, such as Proverbs 11:26, he who withholds grain, the people will curse him, but bless it will be on the head of him who sells it, or Daniel chapter 4, verse 27, where Daniel tells King Nebuchadnezzar, show mercy to the poor, or Proverbs 14, 21, happy is he who is gracious to the poor. Well, it would be one thing if the king actually had real bread or gold to give to the poor, but he doesn't. He is only changing the numbers on fiat currency to give the illusion of wealth creation. The crime is that this policy will soon destroy the integrity of the American dollar, which is the world's reserve currency. And this is not going to stop with the Wuhan flu. Our elected leaders are going to be printing and handing out money to people from now on. Nancy Pelosi has already started talking about the next stimulus handout for infrastructure projects. Hey, if you can deficit spend in the flu crisis, why not continue to deficit spend to repair highways and bridges? Do you see the progression here? It used to be that years ago, the government would print dollars to fund government work projects and hence stimulate the economy, like in Roosevelt's day, the WPA. Even President Obama had the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act of 2009. It sent money to many boondoggle projects, but at least the politicians at that time believed that you should not be giving money out for free. It needs to be put toward employing people. People should still need to work. But now, with the growing socialist mindset in America, all of this talk of universal basic income, just this overall attitude that money grows on trees, politicians are just handing out money. This is what people expect. President Trump sent everyone a check for $1,200. And remember how the Democrats hated the fact that President Trump's signature was on the check. They were annoyed by the fact that a Republican president was upstaging them on handouts. And I really believe one of the reasons for the Democrats passing this recent $1.9 trillion stimulus program is not because every American needed $1,400, but because Democrats will not allow themselves to be outdone by the Republican administration. And we're going to see this continue every year. Every time there's a crisis or even the specter of a crisis, the politicians are going to buy popularity and votes by sending people money. And this $1.9 trillion rescue plan is giving handouts to political allies. We all know that less than 10% of this bill has anything to do with COVID relief. It's all about buying political clout. Article from the National Review, how to waste more than $1 trillion. And I like this subheading. Never has such a massive policy as the president's stimulus package come at a time that is more inconsistent with economic reason. Well, because it's not about economic reason, it's about political patronage. $350 billion for state aid. I mean, for some time, blue Democratic states have been after the federal government to print them some money. You know, these states with their leftist social policies have overhired and overpaid state employees. They have spent too much money on government programs, but they don't have the luxury of printing dollars like the federal government. But this relief package will do that for them. So, of course, these bankrupt states like Illinois, New York, Michigan, California love this plan. And this bill gives $170 billion to schools, colleges, and universities to pay off teacher unions. This funds the Church of Secularism, the socialist public education system. $86 billion will go toward making up any shortfalls in union pension plans. Again, more political patronage. And there is $41 billion for transportation. What does this have to do with COVID? Nothing, but it bails out the bloated New York City transit system. And how about this? $1 billion is in the bill to advance racial justice in farming. I mean, what's all that about? Well, if you're a farmer and you've been discriminated against, the federal government will pay off your farm debt. It's implementing this concept of reparations. And much of that $1 billion will be given as grants to social justice organizations. This is government aid for the woke Democrat social justice ideologues to give them a job. You know, $1 billion doesn't sound like a lot of money, but that's $1,000 million. And you can pay the salaries of a lot of leftist political agitators with $1 billion. So the bill was passed. No Republicans signed onto it, but it passed because the Democrats control the House, the Senate, and the presidency. The Republicans could have filibustered it, but that would have been political suicide because everybody wants their $1,400. And the Republicans are going to save the filibuster for the Equality Act and the H.R. 1 voter rights bill. All these stimulus bills remind us of that famous quote by Alexander Fraser Tytler. Who was he? 1747 to 1813. He was a Scottish legal professor at Edinburgh. Quote, "A democracy only lasts until people discover they can vote for themselves money out of the public treasury." Well, that's the short version, but let me read the whole thing. "A democracy cannot exist as a permanent form of government. It can only exist until the voters discover that they can vote for themselves largesse from the public treasury. From that moment on, the majority always votes for the candidate promising the most benefit from the public treasury, with the result that a democracy always collapses over loose fiscal policy, always followed by a dictatorship. The average age of the world's greatest civilizations has been 200 years. These nations have progressed through this sequence, from bondage to spiritual faith, from spiritual faith to greater courage, from courage to liberty, from liberty to abundance, from abundance to selfishness, from selfishness to apathy, from apathy to dependence, and from dependency back into bondage." Unquote. Alexander Tytler. Now, there's some debate as to whether this quote is actually from Alexander, but that doesn't make any difference. The wisdom is still sound. When a nation abandons God, it fails, and it fails by abandoning moral behavior and moral economic behavior. It cheats on weights and measures. As went Venezuela, so will probably go the whole economic system of the West as the people in the West become more immoral. Our greed will be our undoing. We will destroy our economy by cheating the system. Believe in all of these leftist Keynesian economic theories that you can deficit spend your way to prosperity. The great apostasy, the rebellion that Paul writes about in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, which will occur at the end of this age, will undoubtedly include a rebellion against God's economic laws. The man of lawlessness includes economic lawlessness. So, the American Rescue Plan of 2021, it's theft, cheats the system, it's another sign of national debauchery, decline. If it looks to you like this American Rescue Plan, his happy days are here again, you know, think again biblically. It's lawlessness. It's foreshadowing more lawless days to come. One final story that I want you to be aware of, a story that shows us where this is all heading. A Forbes article back in October of 2019, Congress asked the Federal Reserve to look into switching the American dollar into a digital currency. And a Forbes article this last summer, Federal Reserve reveals research plans for digital dollar. For the last 2 years, the Federal Reserve has been working on a digital currency where every American will be given a digital account with the Federal Reserve. Just like Bitcoin uses blockchain technology, so also will the American dollar. All money will be digital in a central account, rather than as it is right now, scattered across thousands of banks. So the system is ready to go. And this month, the Federal Reserve is working on getting the public on board with this new program. The efficiency of such a system is going to be enormous, but the government will also have unlimited economic control. See, the fantasy of socialism is this belief that governments are angels. The biblical view is that the governments of this world are beasts, that when given too much power, they they devour and they persecute the righteous. So we know where this is all going. The prophecy of Revelation chapter 13, verse 16 has come to pass, where there will be centralized government control over the economy and over purchases. I know everyone focuses on the number 666 when they go to Revelation 13, but the point is not the number as much as the persecution that comes by economic control. You have to have the mark of allegiance to the empire if you're to have any money. It's forcing an ideology on people by threatening their economic well-being, their job, their savings, their homes. Go along with the spirit of this age, or we're going to wipe you out, and you're going to have to live under a bridge, because we, the secular elites, control the money. And do you know what most people will do? When it comes to God or my next meal, they'll choose their next meal. Money, economics, economic policy will be the ultimate test of one's allegiance to God or to this world. Why do you think the book of the Revelation tells us about the economic control of the Antichrist? It's to prepare God's people for the temptation to come, where we need to take a stand. There is a documentary video that I want you to watch this week. You can still get it on YouTube. It's called Painting the Wall Black, the story of Nina's Deli in Chicago. And it's about how the woke mob in Chicago put a Christian family out of business because they would not endorse the BLM movement and its ideology. It's about how thousands of people protested the deli, saying some of the most vile things, how the mob tracked down and threatened their employees, their church, their relatives. And it's how that it wasn't just about BLM, but the mob hated God. In Juan's words, "I found out what they really had a problem with was God and the Bible. They showed up with 666 flags and gay flags. This was about a whole lot more than just BLM. So I highly recommend this video because in it we get a renewed sense of how bad it really is out there and how small the Christian community really is and how short the time is. Again, the piece is called Paint the Wall Black, and in it you'll find a great example of how a Christian family and their church put Jesus Christ before money. How we handle money shows us who is our God. So the spiritual challenge I want to leave you today is not about stimulus checks or digital money. It's about the temporal nature of all wealth on earth. What if everything you have worked for disappears overnight? Where will your treasure be? And not only will the world steal it from you, you can't take it with you. Money and everything money can buy will fail you someday. So he's no fool to give what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Christians are going to have to make a choice between their money or Jesus Christ. Already Christians are losing their jobs over Christian values, but it's going to get a whole lot worse. That's the whole point of Revelation chapter 13. And we need to make up our minds ahead of time that the Almighty God comes before the Almighty dollar. Well, thank you for including God and country as one part of your discipleship in the Word. You know what to do. Subscribe, like, share, leave a comment below, and may Jesus Christ reign.